Welcome. I'm Sarah Pollock.
And I'm Quinn Faison. And we're parent coaches at Plan P, where we believe in the power of practice.
As parents, we have been there through the teen years. And sometimes being there was a rough road. We learned the P was for many things, and always for practice, patience, and pause. From burping a baby to parenting emerging adult children, there is no right or wrong way. We're humans. We learn by doing.
The work that we do now as coaches has the full support and approval of our amazing children and our greatest teachers, Allie and Harrison. So if you're a parent, you've come to the right place. We're going to give you tools to practice clear communication with your children, which will improve your relationships.
We're excited to have you join us on this parenting path that passes through the adolescent years, where learning is in the pause and perfection is found in practicing. So let's get moving.
Hi, welcome back to the Plan P podcast. Thank you for listening. We are so grateful to you and all the parents who trust us with their stories, their struggles, and their successes.
So as we continue to prepare and post these shows, we are also in the process of our ongoing Wednesday workshop virtual meetings, which are all about practicing. So it occurred to us that we should discuss a little about what it is that practice makes, because we all know it don't make perfection, because perfection isn't a thing in a world in which everything's changing.
Even so, in a world where everything isn't changing, practice gets you to Carnegie Hall. It doesn't necessarily make you perfect.
Ah, yes. Even at Carnegie Hall, they make mistakes.
Exactly.
Yep. So what we're going to talk about this week in the podcast is a little about what it is that we're doing in those workshops and what that practice looks like. So first, we want to talk about what exactly is practice. And I think we've already talked about a little dispelling that myth that if you keep practicing, you're ever going to achieve perfection. What happened?
Well, and it brings to mind for me the thing that I heard about Oriental rugs, that there's always a flaw that's intentionally put into the rug, because to be perfect would be to presume a level that was too godlike. It's not humble.
Because nobody is perfect.
Right.
There's this presumption of perfection as an achievable goal. The other thing about practice is you want to know what it is you're practicing towards. So if I want to practice, what is it I'm practicing? And we, in these podcasts, give weekly practices. In the workshops, what we're going to be doing is practicing with other people.
Right.
Practicing the tools and the tips. Because sometimes it's great to hear it, but to practice it with other humans, to hear yourself saying the words and then making them your own.
Ooh.
That felt a little awkward. Let me try it again with you. See how it sounds. It's sort of like that piano thing.
Yeah. And also seeing other people do it is helpful sometimes, to see just how it works and to see a flow between
right.
two people.
Yeah. And then also practicing makes progress. Actually, Allie made, you can't see it, Allie presented us with a work of art. It is a knitting. They started learning to knit. And what it is it's a long, sort of very narrow scarf. I'll post it somewhere. Well, you can see at the beginning, there's holes in it and it looks like this. And by the end, it's this nice, neat scarf-like item. And the title of the piece is Practice Makes Progress. And you know how artists put those words underneath, it's, you know, acrylic on paper, blah, blah, blah. This one says wool and time. And I love that, because we often say practice takes time, and know what you're practicing. Because I can still play hot cross buns on the piano, but I never work towards anything else. And I never learn any more piano.
Right.
So if we know what we're practicing and we give weekly practices, but okay, I practiced that last week and you never pick it up again, you're never going to learn the piano or the trombone or how to knit.
Right.
You got to keep building on your previous knowledge. And that's what the workshops are offering to parents of children 13 to 17. It's a place to come back and practice with each other in partnership with other parents in their own worlds. And that's what we do in coaching, is build upon every week when we meet with parents. And then when we meet the next week, we'll talk a little about what we talked about last week. How'd that go? Let's talk about that. What's going on? Are there other practices that you can build in? How can last week's practice be practiced further? Practice is important. It's part of the reason that we are offering free virtual Wednesday workshops. And the other thing that we wanted to talk about here is what it is we're going to be using. What of the things that we have been practicing, that we have been trained in and certified in, and how those will be applied in the workshops. So one of them is something that we talked about in a previous podcast, which is positive discipline. And just a reminder to go back and listen to those, but also to a reminder that there is power in the positive. And that's really what positive and discipline together. If you just discipline, you're not building connections. If you overemphasize the positive, you're not building connections. So one of the things that we will be working with and bringing to the workshops is our training as positive discipline educators. And another one is the invitation to change, which is what we are inviting you to do now, is to change and join us in the workshops. Is there anything else you want to say about the invitation to change?
Well, the invitation to change was designed for families working with other family members. It's an invitation to someone who is suffering addiction to change. I think it can be way more widely applied than just for addiction.
Absolutely.
Because it's a way of making connection with your child and having empathy for yourself and for them and really reasoning out how to move forward, whatever way that is. So
I also want to say that the invitation to change is an invitation to parents and other loved ones. It's almost a trickle-down invitation. So our workshop is an invitation to you, the parents, to change as well.
Yeah. If you're doing a dance and you change the steps you take, it creates the other person to change too. So yeah, we need to change. The whole system is invited to shift, basically. And
right.
These aren't big titanic shifts. These are little shifts.
Right. Because big titanic shifts, you don't sit down at the piano and then the next day you're pounding out Chopin.
Well, and yeah, they're harder to maintain. They're harder to keep up.
And sometimes impossible to achieve. Expectation-wise, if you go to one personal training...
Right.
If you go to a gym,
Arnold Schwarzenegger in one visit to the gym.
Exactly. And I think that there's something about the invitation to change, which is gentle. There is a whole wheel that goes with it, and we will be referring to that within the workshop. And the first part of it is just bringing awareness and practicing bringing awareness to the whole situation.
Right.
An invitation to look at that, and then an invitation to understand others, and then an invitation to change our behaviors, the parental behaviors.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what invitation to change is.
It's an invitation to change your approach.
Right. And then once you've practiced it, you can keep going around the wheel.
Yeah.
But if you jump to the end, trying to impact change without inviting an awareness and an understanding, then you're really trying to invite them to change to make you happy.
Right. Well, you're trying to force them into a particular path.
Right. And part of the invitation to change is one size doesn't fit all. One path, our path may not be the only path. Oh, it's most certainly not. There are off ramps every 2 miles.
Yeah, well, which gives you the freedom to not think that this is the answer, but it is an answer. And you can solicit your child's, to use an HR term, buy-in, so that they too are actively trying to get to an outcome.
Right, but an outcome of their choosing, which you are a part of that. I mean, that's what we do in coaching, is we help parents build healthy, trusting relationships. Because if you just walk into a room and become best friends with someone, how long do those relationships last? Sometimes they last a long time. I still am in some degree of contact with the first person I met at college, but a degree. Once every other year, different relationships are different, and you find the place where you both are comfortable. And that's what we are doing with our children as they become adults, right?
Hopefully.
Well, that's our goal.
It reminds me of when I became a step-parent.
Mm.
My thinking about that was recognizing that they were going to be adults in my life longer than they were going to be children in my life. So I wanted to build a relationship with them, not bribe them with glittery objects and, you know, candy and money or whatever.
And as someone who got to bear witness to all that, what I saw you doing was meeting them where they were, not trying to drag them to where you were.
Right.
You let them have their feelings, walk right by you. Wasn't always fun for you.
No.
But it did get you the best Step-Parent of the Year award from one of them.
That's
framed.
True. That's true.
So one of the things that we will be relying upon and working with actively honoring is this Invitation to Change program, which we have been trained and certified in and understand and really think is spot on, just like positive discipline, using lots of the tools of positive discipline and craft. Craft is community, reinforcement, and family training. Yep, families can be trained. It's that whole potty training to pot training, which is sometimes gives pause. People are like, hold on, family training? What do I need? Now, family craft is being used by a lot of, and again, craft is like ITC, they've got a focus on substance use disorder.
Right.
But really, it's just about building relationships and seeing where different people are in their lives and in relation to one another. And training, as I referenced earlier, doesn't have to be scary. How many people listening have ever considered going to a personal trainer, you know, in a gym or having them come to your home?
Well, and training also assumes that you don't know, right? So if you think about it in the most gentle way, which is how we think of it, it's, you know, coming to something and taking the skills, whatever skills you have now, and building on those. It reminds me of something that was told to me when I was in college. They had accepted me into their university. They wanted me to do well. So they were going to be there to support me doing well ever after, because it was in their best interest also. And that's what we're trying to do, is come up with trainings, because it's in everybody's best interest for everybody to shift a little bit.
Because we invited them into our family, right?
Right.
Just like you're invited
into our system.
Into our family system. And if you're like us, we were invited into someone else's family systems. And some of those family systems have got their own little imperfections.
Every family system has its quirks.
Because we're all individuals.
Every family has a history too. And
right.
The world, you know, is not a gentle place. So there is no doubt when you look back in any family history going to be trials and tribulations that create little quirky things.
Right. And that's how coaching is different than therapy. It's really important to understand your family of origin, because they did have impact. And as coaches, we don't actually delve into the past. We work with parents to do the same. A life coach is like a personal coach, a personal trainer.
Mm-hmm.
Coaching trainers, it's the same thing, right? A coach is there to help you build muscle or build new neural pathways.
Mm-hmm.
And those things take time and are worth the effort. And I say that as someone who just will be going to a personal trainer next week for the first time. And they asked me in the sort of intake process, which, what is your experience with this in the past? And I'm like, I've never worked with a personal trainer in my life. I do 30 jumping jacks a day and that's it. But I'm at a point in my life where my body deserves my attention.
Mm-hmm.
I want to get stronger. And that's all we wanted to do when our kids were preteens, teens, and young adults. We wanted to build our strength, not so that we could beat them up, but so that we could build stronger relationships.
Yeah. And as you're talking about that, I'm thinking about how people sometimes refer to the brain, that you have to exercise it in order to build that muscle, because as you use it, it becomes a more automatic response.
Right. Because the myelin, the things move quicker in the myelin. Your connections with yourself grow stronger. And the other thing about all coaches and trainers are, you don't go to them because you're so strong.
Right.
And Arnold Schwarzenegger probably still goes back to them. Like, the people who play piano never stop practicing.
Right.
They don't go to Carnegie Hall and say, okay, now I'm going to do my world tour. It's not the way it works.
That's right. They have coaches or people who can listen with an objective ear to their playing.
Right.
Which is really what I think coaching is about. It's having an objective person to help you see a little differently.
And also someone who, just like a personal trainer, really gets to know you.
Yeah.
Because a personal trainer can ask you a bunch of things, you know, do you have any diseases? Do you have any history of heart disease? They'll ask you, do you drink liquor? How do you eat? They ask you lots of questions. And then they have a baseline. So if you haven't signed up for a free consultation yet, we ask you a few questions. Just, we have a baseline. So, and then you meet and we get to learn more about you. When I go to see this trainer, and I said, I'm going to sign up for 2 weeks because I want to see if this is a good fit. So don't take it personally that I'm saying you might improve yourself, because I know I need some improving, because I am not perfect. I am progressing towards that, according to Allie, as Allie knows all of us are. And then the other one is acceptance and commitment therapy. And that one uses the word therapy, but we don't actually provide therapy. We provide coaching, but it's about the acceptance of what's going on and working with that. And it's a commitment to do the work, to show up for the class, whether that's on a bike or one-on-one. What's our commitment to ourselves, our well-being, and then sharing that well-being with others, building other relationships, changing relationships, and then motivational interviewing.
Right.
It's used in politics. It's used in, yeah, in lots
it's
of
widely used.
I love it because I hear so many parents saying, and other professionals saying, I just want them to be motivated. Mm. And that circles back almost to invitation to change, because what people want, parents want their children to be motivated to do the things that we, the parents, want them to do.
Right.
And the amazing thing about all of these programs, all of these methodologies, are that they all give autonomy to the child or to the other person. We work with parents, so it's a child.
Right. And autonomy is so important for motivation, because with kids, in particular with teens, they want to start owning their own lives. They want to start building those muscles. That's what they're doing at this age, right? So we talk about autonomy, but it's also, I think, hinged with that is accountability. If I don't have autonomy, I'm not accountable. I'm just doing what you're telling me. And so part of what they're doing at this, particularly teens at this age, is learning to take accountability, hopefully, which necessitates they're having some autonomy.
Right. They're growing up.
Yeah.
And part of listening to you, I started thinking about a young person who I work with in a volunteer situation, who I and everyone else who works with them wants them to be motivated to change. And I am in the unique position to say yes, and it takes a long time. Given their experience, you think they're not changing fast enough. I see them motivated to get to this next thing. And it's my hope to be able to remind them that there's something else after that, but not push them, not judge where they are motivated to go. It's in the direction that feels good to them, even if it's really, really, really hard. Mm. Oh yeah, you slipped. We all do that. We forget. I don't know. Did you forget anything yesterday?
I'm sure I forget things all the time these days. It's interesting because when you talk about that, yes, part of it is what am I responsible for? What am I accountable for? If you want me to be a grown-up, you have to give me the space in which to be grown up.
Wow. And growing.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing about practicing in the process of.
Right. Because hopefully we never stop growing.
I like that. Right. And the other thing about growing and allowing them to be autonomous and accountable is to be there when they slip, when they fall.
Yeah.
When they, oops.
Yeah.
Drat, I did that, and let them do that and not shame them.
I was going to say, not to pick them up and put them in the right spot again, but to give them a hand, to give them the support so that they can take that next step, rather than showing them exactly where that next footfall should be.
Right. And sometimes as a parent, not saying, do you want me to tell you? Do you want me to remind you? But you missed that last appointment. How are you feeling? You missed that last meeting. What would you like to do differently next time?
Or how can I help you?
Right. Do you want my help? Because a lot of kids resist. How do I want your help? I don't.
And have that be okay for them.
Absolutely.
To say no.
Exactly. If you say to your child, how can I help you? Or what can I do to help you? And they say, nothing. I'm good, mom or dad.
Yeah. Then it's okay. Let me know if that changes.
Mm, right. Which allows them.
Allows
to
them to. I think the reason I lean into those kinds of questions is because I want to show them that I'm there and available to help.
Right. So there are lots and lots of ways of interacting with your children. If they made some sort of mistake, they missed an appointment, they didn't do well on a test, they didn't apply to college on time, whatever it is. One of the ways in which we can interact as parents is to say, yeah, I hear you. How are you feeling about that? And then offering them your help as well, so they know they're not alone. And then you also have that ability to say, you keep saying no, and then yes, and then no, and then yes, and then no, and then yes. And then you can come and talk to your coach about, well, I'm tired of this now. We've been doing the same thing. They keep saying no, and then they come and ask for help, and then they say no, and then they come and ask for the same help again. And now I don't want to help them with this anymore. How do I tell them that?
Right. Which is a little bit more complicated, except it's also handing over the reins to them.
Right.
Hopefully.
Yeah. And then there can be more handing over the reins and saying, I'm not actually helping you. Because sometimes I thought I was helping, because I wanted them to insert whatever I wanted them to do. And then realizing, you know what? I love you. I really want you to go off on this path. And I'm here for you in these ways that I am. And in this way, that's not working for me anymore. Because I don't see that changing anything. And that's fine for you. What I don't want is to get frustrated and resentful and angry. Because I love you and I want to be able to be there for you. So you can share your feelings around that. But this thing I'm not doing anymore. And if something comes up and you want to talk about it, we can talk about it again. But the next time you ask in that same way, this is often around money or someone wanting a parent to pick them up somewhere. The next time you ask, I'm going to say no. And if you keep asking, I'm going to keep saying no. It doesn't mean I don't love you. It means I don't want to resent you. And I trust that you can figure out how to save your own money. As parents, we get to say yes, we get to say no, we get to say maybe, we get to say, let me think about it. If you can practice using those consciously, pausing before you go to your automatic response to mom, can I, dad, can I, grandma, will you? Let me get back to you. Let me think about it. They can get frustrated. Trust me. They don't like to wait when they are used to getting us to do exactly what we've always done. They can adapt. They're adaptable, those children. So how do you practice this? Well, I just gave you a few tips on how you practice new behaviors and letting go of being perfect, because perfection doesn't exist. Give yourself a pass on being perfect. And part of me wants to say how to practice and let go of any notion of perfection. Okay, that's a trick question, right? Join us on Wednesdays. Sign up for a complimentary session. But seriously, practice is how we progress towards anything that we want in any relationship with ourselves, with a piano, with another human. So listen to our previous podcasts, pick a practice, watch as your home gets a little more harmonious, maybe not Carnegie Hall. Remembering you're not the conductor. The parents, since, time immemorial, have found their children's music to be completely outside their comfort zone. So maybe it's time to let the kids play their music. And the practice for this week is to start each day making a conscious decision about anything that you want to get better at. So that could be shooting hoops. That could be knitting. That could be meditating. That could be speaking softly or listening better or speaking a little more loudly. I don't know what you want to practice, but if you make a conscious decision with yourself and maybe share it out loud with someone else, or come on Wednesday and share it out loud with the whole group, what you want to practice in the next week, making a conscious decision every morning that you're going to shoot hoops for 10 minutes or take a pause and speak a little more softly.
And I find it helpful to keep track of whether I've accomplished that or not in the day.
Ah, yes. You and I were just talking about that yesterday. The end of the day.
At the end of the day. It helps me the next day to think, yeah, I was able to do it a little bit. Maybe I can do a little bit more today. It keeps me motivated.
Well, and also, I think it's a good practice that you're sort of starting the day with an intention and at the end of the day, checking in. How often did you practice it? Did you practice? Because we're never going to get better if we don't practice.
And maybe how did it go? Which could be, how does it feel now? Or did you trip? Or...
yeah, interest in looking back over the weeks, because that's when you get to see the progress. When you look at yesterday and today, I'm like, ugh, you know, I'm not any stronger. I can't lift 20 pounds today when I could lift 10 yesterday.
Right.
But if I look back a month and a half, I couldn't do 30 jumping jacks 6 months ago. I could do 20.
Right.
Things take time. Change takes time.
And pause.
And patience. And progress.
Practice.
And practice. So we look forward to seeing you again next week and maybe on Zoom.
For tuning in to Plan P. We hope you enjoyed this episode and gained some valuable takeaways that you can practice this week. And remember, change takes time.
To stay connected with us and ensure you never miss an episode, make sure to subscribe and share our podcast with your friends, family, and other parents who could benefit from these discussions. Also, please be sure to leave us a review on Apple or Spotify, because that will help us reach more amazing parents like you.
If you want to talk to us one-on-one or learn other ways in which we support families, visit our website at planp.us. You can also keep up with Plan P on Instagram and TikTok at planpis4.
We will meet you back here